Jeremy Garlett here with you on Noongar Radio, 100.9 FM Digital, Perth, around the metropolitan area. Hello, good to be with you. And in the program, we'll be focusing on, focus on diabetes 2 in the program. And we have some very interesting guests in the studio at the moment. And first of all, I'd like to say hello to Susan. How are you, my dear?
I'm very good, Jeremy.
And
happy to be here.
And of course, we're very happy to have you because you're the NAIDOC lady. Yes? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I've actually won the Elder of the Year Award for the Midland area, which I feel is a great honour because there's a lot of women out there my age that are still working, and I think, you know, they also deserve recognition too.
Yeah, and of course, tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name is Susan Jetter. I'm from the Balladong area, a town called Kellerberrin. I've been a health professional for 6 years with Meredith Jenner, Podiatry and Diabetes Service. My choice of occupation has always been helping my people with their health issues. I love my job, and I've seen a great improvement to their health in my time at Meredith Jenner.
Yeah, and of course my second guest here, thanks Susan for that, Peter, how are you?
How are you going there, Jeremy?
Yeah, not too bad, how are you? First time on radio?
Yes, first time, yep.
Congratulations to both of you anyway. Yeah, tell us a little bit about you.
I'm with Auntie Sue, I'm from the Balladong area as well, my father's mob, and a bit about myself, I've got a construction background, mining, security, and the last 5-6 years I've been nursing, and I'm working at the RPH at the moment there as the Aboriginal Health Liaison Officer, and enjoying myself, yeah.
Yeah, and also, thanks for that, Peter. David, tell me about you.
Yeah, thanks, Jeremy. Thanks for having us here today, along with Susan.
I work for Meredith Jenner. I'm one of the podiatrists there. I've been with Meredith Jenner for 4 years now. I'm Wardjula fella, but originally from Geelong. Moved over here about 7 years ago and have a strong passion in Aboriginal health. It's an absolute pleasure to work alongside these guys with Meredith Jenner to hopefully improving the Aboriginal health outcomes in WA and the Perth metropolitan area.
Yeah, and of course we're touching on the subject of diabetes too, which is it's an alarming process that's happening within both Aboriginal communities and non-Aboriginal communities as well. Tell us about that.
Yeah.
And Meredith Jenner, what's that correlation to do with diabetes?
So Meredith Jenner, which means strong feet or healthy feet, is a podiatry and diabetes service run by East Metropolitan Health, and we service many clinic locations within the north and south metropolitan area. The correlation between diabetes and our program is that diabetes is becoming more and more prevalent within the community, especially within Aboriginal communities and Aboriginal people. And it can affect your feet and your health significantly. So it's a really important program. It's important that people can get some education, that they can get some treatment with anything to do with their feet or general health. And we have both Aboriginal health workers that work with us. We have a dietitian as well, a diabetes educator and podiatrist that run on site that give community members access within their own community areas to all of those health professionals as a one-stop shop to better improve their health.
And how important that role is in the community?
Oh, significantly important, Jeremy. Like, we have clients all over the place who suffer from things such as cramps or pain in their feet, burning or numbness in their feet. And these are all things that can be caused by diabetes that people might not know about. They might have sores that take a long time to heal. So it's really important that they're able to get advice and education on how to make these things better, but also understanding where they come from and how they occur for them to treat them better themselves.
Yeah, and of course looking at the symptoms as well. Peter, your contact with Aboriginal people, sometimes our people don't talk often about some of the ailments that they go through. How important is your role to do to liaise within the community?
Like I said before, I work for East Metro Health Service, and my role there is the Aboriginal Health Liaison Officer. So we facilitate programs. I work with a great group of people there on level 5 there at RPH there, and we run these programs. One of them is Journey Living with Diabetes.
Yeah.
And in that program, we just deal mainly with people with the type 2, and that includes carers and that. And it was developed to help Aboriginal people to manage their diabetes. And these programs are run in groups and use Aboriginal trained professionals as well.
Yeah. And Susan, you're an Aboriginal woman. It's, you know, it's important to get out to the women folk too as well, to talk and to break down those barriers too, isn't it?
Yes, we actually have a male and a female Aboriginal health professionals with us, with our team, and that's the reason why, because I can talk to the women, they feel comfortable talking to me, and then we've got a male health worker, and if men I want to talk about, you know, men's business, they can talk to him about things like that. Some things that they, how diabetes might affect them, you know, their male symptoms that they don't want to talk to me about. So I think it's very important that we have Aboriginal male and female.
Yeah, and because the extended process of the extended family as well.
That's right.
Let's look at some of the other symptoms that, you know, as liaison officers, you'd see in a person that may have, you know, diabetes or may have a pre-existing condition.
Some of the symptoms, yes. Well, see, I think with Aboriginal people, because diabetes is not a disease that it's not a visual disease that they can see, so sometimes they're in the denial that they have diabetes. Until they start experiencing, you know, things like going to the toilet a lot, feeling very thirsty, blurred vision, they lose weight. It can be associated with heart problems, kidney problems, and they've, you know, swelling and numbness in their feet, a sore that won't heal. They've been in hospital because of feet or diabetes problems, and they've had amputations. So some of those things that we see out there, you know, and we create that awareness by going up to people and talking to them and saying, look, you know, have you ever been tested for diabetes? And some people say, well, I don't have it. But then with further talk and encouragement, they come in and they see us and...
And David, these symptoms are very important to sort of look at, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. As Susan touched on, there's some things that might be occurring in the body that you don't know about, and so that aren't picked up on until it's too late. And that's why it's really important to access services like ours, where you can get these health checks early, you can get the education and know what you're looking for, and then we can prevent them long term. And like Susan touched on before as well, especially with Mudditch Jenner and the Aboriginal health workers within the liaison teams, there's no shame when you come to our services. So it doesn't matter what stage you are, there's always help and guidance, cultural support, and that's why we have Aboriginal health workers as our first point of call with our service, so that people feel safe, that they can yarn and they can share their story, and then they can improve their health and get better health outcomes in the future, and that's what we're aiming for.
So, David, if I'm a person who fits the category, who should I see? What's the first port of call? What do? Do I go, okay, no worries, I need to speak to someone about it. I need that, you know, my feet is not healing, and, you know, there are some aspects I'm concerned about.
Yeah, well... Jeremy, like most people out there, they'll have a GP, they'll have a doctor that they go to, but it's also important to engage in these other services as well that are out there that have specific health professionals allocated towards those areas. And for my example today, we're obviously a podiatry and diabetes service, so that's what we focus on. So with any problems with people with their feet, if anyone's had diabetes for a long period of time, they should be seeing us at least as a minimum once a year.
Yeah.
Most of our clients, though, they generally see us from once every month to once every 2 months. And that can be for general treatment. That can be for chronic problems that they have, including ingrown toenails or foot pain. We have people that come in and see us that have had neuropathic ulcers that aren't healing. And if there's other support that's needed, we can refer them into other services as well.
Yeah, and of course, Susan, that vital role is contacting the community, contacting members of the community, and if you know that there's someone who needs their assistance, what happens from there? Do you find like that extended process, and as well as other family members as well, to, because medically, Aboriginal people, we are afraid of quite a few things when it comes to our own health, you see.
I think being an Aboriginal, it really helps because we're related to a lot of people.
That's what I mean.
And word gets around.
Mm.
So they might know where our service is or where we're running our clinics, but they will find out from relations. And I think I'm related to about 80% of Perth, so I know a lot of people, and I know my Wadjalah podiatrist, they find it very unusual that I've got so many relations.
But
talk to one and word goes around that this is a program that they really need to come and see us. Our promotional thing, we don't really have to promote our program because all the relations do it for us.
That's right. And what about you, Peter, as a male, getting in contact with our Aboriginal men? Because Aboriginal men, we sort of leave things a little bit too late, often.
That's correct.
Could that be said?
That'd be correct, Jeremy. What I've found working in clinics and places in South Australia, I've learnt that we've left it to last minute, and it's a shame thing. Like David said, it's people don't want to talk about it, especially the men, and it affects so many areas of your body. And these are the things we're finding out in our journey living with diabetes, and some of the things we talk about is understanding the disease, diabetes, eating healthy food, going shopping and balancing out our life. Some of these things, as we get older, we take less care of ourselves.
Yeah.
And it's for whatever reason it might be, it's great to be able to work with people through our courses and programs, and identifying and referring them on to British Jenner and people that, you know, and identifying the problems and we're facing. Yeah.
And of course, David Mordich Jenner, there's also a mobile service which it will provide that assistance on a mobile basis, which is really important to our community, because transport is a problem.
Yeah, absolutely, Jeremy. And another reason as well is people feel they feel safe within their community areas. They feel safe within the community that they live in. And so us being able to get out to those different communities and provide a service there makes them more comfortable, and it's probably more likely that they're going to come and see us. To explain Mordich Jenner a little bit more, like you said, we're a mobile service, so we've got two mobile vans, much like you'd see a doctor's van or a dental van. We've got a podiatry chair in there, and we've got lots of different resources. And we access 27 sites throughout the north and south metropolitan areas. We've got a couple of on-site clinics as well, the partnerships that we run with Derwel Yerrigan, Mirrabooka and Maddington. And also we have our home clinic in Midland as well, which people can come in. We're a walk-in service, Jeremy, so you don't need to book an appointment. You can roll in whenever you want. We're a free service as well. Like what Susan was saying before, our team consists of our admin officer, who, if you want to call the number, she'll always make an appointment for you if you want to book an appointment. Otherwise, you can walk in. We've got Susan and a couple of other Aboriginal health professionals that work with us, and they'll do your general health checks, your blood pressure, your blood sugar levels, which is really important to understand of kind of where you're sitting at. They'll provide you health education and help you access other health services within the community. Obviously, similar to myself, we've got three other podiatrists and myself working with Mudich Jenner. So any foot problem that you have, you don't just have to have diabetes to have foot problems, but lots of people do. So any foot problem that you have or any query that you have, you're more than welcome to come and see us. And we can provide anything from just generalised treatment to education, to orthotics if people need them for foot problems, nail surgery, the works. And we can help people with picking the right shoes as well. And that's a really, really important thing. We can refer them off to other services if they need help in other areas as well. Because diabetes can affect you in not just your feet, a lot of areas as well, your eyes and your kidneys.
Yeah.
So it's really important to get those overall health checks.
Yeah.
Just before I finish, we've also got a dietitian that's just started working with us as well. And I know it's a big thing, and it's a hard thing to change sometimes. So we're not about overhauling people completely, but trying to pick and choose the things that they like to eat, a bit of portion control, to improve their diet overall.
Yeah. I think it's important to, I suppose, overemphasise the issue when it comes to some of those issues that people might have, some of those symptoms. Maybe we can share that around. Over to you, Susan. Tell us about some of the things that people should be wary of, Aboriginal people, if they have or they may feel they've got diabetes.
Well, they need to know what their levels should be.
Yeah.
And we have actually got visual charts that we use.
Yeah.
We've created these charts where we show them, you've got a normal level.
Yeah.
And it's a fasting level, 4, 5, 6.
Yeah.
And then you can go, after you've had a meal, it can go up to 7, 8, 9. But then anything over that, we show them on our chart, you're in the red area, and you need to be aware that it's now getting, your levels are getting high, and then you can have these things like strokes or heart attacks. So it's going to affect other areas in your body if you don't look after your levels and, get them down and eat the right diet and that. And then we also have a chart on blood pressure. So things like, and they can see, okay, this is what the top number means, because a lot of people don't know when they write down the numbers on a chart, what's the doctor writing down. So we have a chart, we show them, we explain to them about what the top number means and what the bottom number means and where normal is and where they are on that chart, so that they are aware that if they're not looking after their health, they will eventually have a heart attack or a stroke.
And Peter, education is a crucial aspect, isn't it?
Yes, Jeremy. It's I feel that these courses that the East Metro Health Service involved with, you've got the Journey of Living with Diabetes, the Life Program, and the Murchabinch Program. We all find that we have to talk about diabetes seems to be the number one thing. And there's a lot of reason why people get diabetes. Also, with a lot of our mob, we change from the traditional Aboriginal lifestyles and not exercising as much as our ancestors. So it just leads to heart attacks, like only Susan said, strokes, kidney failures, and blindness and foot problems. But the good news is that we are making a few changes to your lifestyle so diabetes can be controlled in a lot of these areas.
So something can be done about it?
Yes,
We'll just go to a music break and we'll pick up the topics again and we'll go through little by little about some of those symptoms that we need to ask our listeners who are listening into the program. And of course, there is a number to give a call as well. We'll give all those details as well. You're listening to Health Matters right here on Noongar Radio 100.9 FM Digital, broadcast right around Perth and the metropolitan area, and through the Packham networks right around Australia. is Health Matters right here on Noongar Radio. And, of course, we're discussing diabetes too. And, Susan, you gave me an amazing sort of analogy of what diabetes 2 is and some of the symptoms, and just sort of explain that to me so that and to our listeners who are listening to Noongar Radio right now. Yes, please, darling.
Like I said, we have these visual charts that we show to our clients, and we have colours. It's a colourful chart. It has numbers on it that range from 1 to 30 on the blood glucose chart. And when people come in, we'll show them what's a fasting level, 4, 5, 6, and it's a dark green. And then we'll have a lighter green. It's after they've had a meal or something, and it can go up to 7, 8, 9. But then if their levels are 10 or above, then they're in the red area, so that's danger zone. And they need to look at, okay, I need to get my blood glucose levels down. And there's also 1, 2, 3 is too low, so they can have hypos, which is a low glucose reading.
Yeah,
and that can cause weakness, shakiness, sweating, headaches, dizzy, grumpy, heart racing, numbness and tingling in their lips and fingers. So it's really not safe to have a low blood glucose level. So we show them that. People will sometimes get a shock because they see, okay, my levels are 20. And when we show them on the chart, this is where 20 is. And they're like, oh, no, I have to do something about it. So it's a visual thing. We also have the blood pressure chart where you've got numbers that range from 50 to 200 on the top number. And the bottom number is 50 to 130. But I explain to the clients, because of the coloured areas, we've got a green area where it's a healthy area. It goes from 130 on the top. That's healthy, so you've got your foot on the accelerator of the car, and it's revving. The accelerator is revving the engine.
Right,
if it's up to 160 or 185, that's very, very high revving. And when you take your foot off the accelerator of the car, you should idle down to a proper idling sound. But if you have high blood pressure, that level won't come down. The bottom number will show you when your heart is resting, because your heart is a pump. So when it's pumping the blood through, it's working very hard, you've got the top number. When it comes back and it relaxes, you've got the bottom number. And that should be in the 60 to 80. Now, if that's up to 100, your heart is working very, very hard. It's like the accelerator. You haven't taken that foot off the accelerator. That car engine is revving so high, you're going to blow that engine in your car, and that's what's going to happen to your heart. You'll end up doing a lot of damage to your heart.
Very well presented there, Susan, and it is an important thing. By putting it in that terms, and I can accept it a lot more than anything else. Education is a key. It's very open. It's so important when it comes to those levels.
And our Aboriginal people find it very easy to understand. And when we show them where they are on our charts, and on the back of the charts we actually have information of if your blood pressure's too high, what to do. And then if it's too low, what to do. So we have those things on the back, and it tells them if your blood pressure's too high, and how to reduce it so you'd lose weight. You'd be active most of the day, so do exercise. A lot of Aboriginal people, when they finish school, especially us women, we have children, we don't exercise enough. We have our children, we stay at home, and we don't go out and play netball and basketball like we used to. The younger generation are much better now. They get out and they keep up their sports, but us older ones, we don't do as much. Eat a healthy diet. Don't smoke. Reduce alcohol. Reduce the amount of salt in your diet, and take your blood pressure medication as recommended. And we also have a chart that we put up to people where it's a whiteboard. They can tick off with a whiteboard mark, I've taken my medication, because a lot of people forget to take their medication, and especially busy mothers. And, you know, with Aboriginal people, our family is priority, so we put our health last, really. Our family comes first, so...
Yeah. And David Murich-Jenner, you're talking about some of these symptoms or some of these challenges that we have here. You have special dietitians that can assist with the education as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a dietitian that works with us. We've got a dietitian that works with us that can provide clients with educational resources. So whether it be healthy plates or
the type of foods that they want to eat, so that they better understand the amount of carbohydrates, which can increase their blood sugars, the amount of calories in foods, and like we touched on before, the foods that they want to eat as well. The people in the community, they want to eat certain types of food, and so we're not trying to cut those out completely. We're just trying to be able to manage them better. And like Sue said, the diet's a huge one, but also smoking's a massive one. So smoking can affect our clients significantly. Not only the cost, Jeremy, these days a packet of cigarettes is through the roof, but the implications that it can have on your health is quite significant. And we have lots of clients that come in with peripheral arterial disease. They've got blockages in their arteries, and with that, they're not able to get the blood pumping from their heart all the way down into their feet. And so then if they have cuts or sores or anything like that, it's unable to heal. So it increases their risk of getting amputations down the track, and that's something that we want to obviously avoid. So diet and smoking are huge factors alongside diabetes, definitely.
Yeah, and of course, Peter, you would you'd know someone that's in that situation. The first thing you do is getting in contact with Mudich Jenna, and there are various other organisations too as well, and Durbel Yerrigan as well.
Yeah, that's correct. Durbel Yerrigan, get down to AMS there, or local AMS, and let them know if you get these feelings that only Susan mentioned a little bit earlier in your feet and that. I just wanted to touch on that journey with living with diabetes. Some of the things that are in our program,
yeah,
that eating healthy, and
yeah.
I think that's a big thing today. Even my own diet's changed. I find I've got a bit of a sweet tooth myself, so I've got to watch my own. I'm getting in that area. But just eating healthy, that will control your diabetes. And it's about the shopping, what we buy, I suppose. What do you think, huh?
Let's have a look at that. What is healthy to one person is, they can eat a little bit more and all that stuff, but at the same time, it is a crucial education is changing your lifestyle.
Yeah. Well, we refer a lot of our clients to, like, Living with Diabetes or other programs, the Life Program, because that's where they get a lot of the knowledge with their shopping, because they teach them how to read labels on the package that they buy their food, so they'll read the labels and they'll educate them on, this is okay to buy this sort of thing. There's less salt in this, or there's less sugar. So, and I think with Aboriginal people, they like the damper, and they like their gravies, and they like that's.
We went to the NAIDOC.
And especially butter, they like butter.
Yeah.
So it's some of these things that we have to cut out of our diet and change. So it is a little bit harder, and they might have not have enough money to buy food just for them, because they have diabetes. They have to provide for the family, so you have that thing of I have to feed my family, so I can't afford to just buy stuff for myself, so it comes in hard. So that's what it's harder for them to make that decision.
Yeah.
Just like Susan touched on, it's about portion control as well. So the amount of food that you're having on your plate.
Yeah.
So I think as over time, both Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal people have increased the amount of food that they eat as a total plate. And that overall will increase the amount of fats that you're eating, salts, and increase your blood sugar levels as well. We went to a thing the other day, and they laid down a stubby of beer,
yeah,
a potato, a sausage, and a tablespoon of butter, and they said, "What has the most calories here?" And all of us looked at each other and said, "Oh, the stubby for sure, probably the potato as well. Lots of carbohydrates," and it's actually they're all exactly the same. So when people cook, they use a tablespoon of butter, or they use a tablespoon of oil, not thinking that it's much at all, or they might even use more, but it's actually quite significant. So it's about understanding what's different, and then cooking appropriately. And it's, and like what we said before, Jeremy, it's not about cutting everything out that you like to eat. It's about using it in moderation.
Yeah, and that visual image goes a long way with our people as well when they're actually seeing it out on a plate or, you know, a demonstration like that. I think it was 16 spoonfuls of sugar goes into a soft drink, you know, by looking at that. It gives you a different perspective on what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink, no doubt.
I think that, what was it in the noodles? I thought that was incredible. I think like 12 or something.
Yeah, I think there was like 14 cubes of sugar in a pack of 2-minute noodles. So that's something that people wouldn't think would have sugar in it at all.
Well, I wouldn't think that.
Yeah. And even as health professionals, we were blown away by it, to be honest. So there's lots of foods out there that have hidden stuff in that people don't know about, and that's why it's really important to come and see your dietitians, your diabetes educators, your Aboriginal health professionals like these guys, because they know what they're talking about. They can help you to make better choices.
Yeah. Of course, the other process of diabetes week is an important process too, isn't it, to make that awareness within the community. And that's exactly what we're doing here now, getting the out in the community to have that awareness.
And on that, Jeremy, the awareness is the key, because like Sue said, people will say that they don't have diabetes or that they don't want to know that they have diabetes. And the important thing to know out there that it's not shame to have diabetes, because you can live a healthy life if you control your sugars well. And so that you can have diabetes and you manage it with your medication and you manage it with your diet and your exercise and you can live a healthy life. It's when you stick your head in the sand and you don't want to know about it, then that's when things spiral out of control pretty quickly, and that's where people end up in hospital or end up, you know, with significant problems and their life's cut short, which is what we don't want.
Yeah.
And we also have a new program. Well, it's not actually new. We've been running it for 12 months now. It's called the Desmond Program. It's Diabetes Education for Self-Management. It's run by Diabetes WA. And we run those at some of our clinics. It's run 2 days, like 2 days in the week. And it explains from the beginning of when you take something in your mouth to eat, how it goes into your bloodstream, into your pancreas, how it's stored in the liver, fatty liver. It explains the whole process right through, how it affects your whole body and your glucose levels. So it's very good, because that's a visual tool that we use too for people to understand where they eat something, how it's affecting other parts of their body, the pancreas and the liver and the heart.
And there's probably some listeners out there, Jeremy, that have type 2 diabetes and they might not have had the control that they wanted to, and then their doctors prescribe them insulin or move them onto insulin as well as their tablets. And now that they think that they have type 1 diabetes, it's actually a bit of a myth and people sometimes don't fully understand. So you can have type 2 diabetes and be on insulin. Just because you're on insulin doesn't mean you're type 1 anymore. So type 1's usually people who, it's usually younger kids, but it can be anyone when their pancreas doesn't work properly and doesn't produce any insulin. And so that's why they have to have the insulin injections instead. Whereas a type 2, their pancreas has become worn out and they're really struggling, and so they might need a bit of a top up. And so there's a misconception out there that people think that they have type 1 when they go on insulin and they still have type 2.
Yeah. Well, diabetes too. We're talking right here on Health Matters, and it's really interesting. I'm learning on this particular program and also learning myself as an individual with diabetes. And there are amazing things we can talk about. We'll just go to a musical track and then we'll discuss some of the other issues when it comes to diabetes too.
She cries all night long, yearning for a love gone wrong. set him free. She lives in misery. She cursed the day she heard the news. The one she loves proved untrue. That day her heart broke in two. Never has she felt so blue.
Mr. Benny Woodley. And, nice song from Benny Woodley right here on Noongar Radio. This program is Health Matters, and health does matter. And it's really important because we have to live with ourselves and live with health itself. And diabetes, too, is it's a scourge within the communities. But there are good things about having diabetes, too, as well, because you can get fixed up, like that engine, driving down the road. You know, it's really important to get fixed up and to feel and to know that the signs of diabetes as well, Susan. It was really nice that you gave that analogy as well as, you know, from your perspective. And of course, Peter, you're a nurse. There's also other diabetes. I didn't know that was gestational diabetes. Maybe we can discuss that from a nurse point of view.
Yeah, thanks for that, Jeremy. I just I've been involved with the clinics and a few of the Aboriginal ladies that came down from up north and that when I was in South Australia, and a lot of them, especially the young ones, a lot of them were developed gestational diabetes. But thought that, you know, they had diabetes, but as you know, when you're Bujari, sometimes you get the diabetes there, but it goes away. So, the funny thing I heard yesterday was I think it was Sonny Delmer was saying that a lot of people didn't like the idea of having diabetes.
Yeah, yeah.
And they would say, no, I don't have it, or something
a little
like
bit,
that.
I've only got a little bit of it.
A bit of denial going
and,
on.
And somebody made mention, I think it was Andy Dolman, said, oh, it's like a little bit pregnant. But I thought that was a good analogy of it.
Pete's saying is that you can't only have a little bit of diabetes. You either have it or you don't have it.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And, of course, there are things what we're doing here now is talking about it because there are people listening into Noongar Radio right now. And this Wonkanening, which is in Noongar, in Belladong, as well as it is important to talk and to have that dialogue and have that discussion. And because from this discussion, I'm getting a picture on what diabetes 2 is. And that is really, really, really important, isn't it, Susan?
It is, because a lot of Aboriginal people, when they're diagnosed, a lot of them get very angry or depressed, or they're in denial because they don't want to know that they've got diabetes, because they straight away think, oh, I'm going to die. It's like cancer.
They
get frightened. So they don't want to know about it. So it's mainly out of fear. But as Aboriginal health professionals, we help them to overcome that fear and come and seek advice, especially if they have to go on insulin. Our diabetes educators and dietitians will show them that it's not a painful, process if it's done properly, when they have the insulin injections. But diabetes, you'll never be cured of diabetes. You'll always have diabetes, but it can be managed, and it isn't life-threatening. And I think that's what people need to realise, that with proper diet and exercise and a good lifestyle, they can still live for a long time.
Yeah, and Peter, from your experience in the north and, of course, the eastern states as well, same?
Yeah, it's pretty much the same everywhere, all over Australia, actually. Two of the things, diabetes and renal issues, that's big with our people, and heart and all these things, they just run into the next, so you've got your heart problems after that. And even with men, a lot of people don't like to discuss it much, but there's erectile dysfunction, there's other issues there that affect men as well. And these things in our community, I think that we could probably, if we get the education and things like that, I think that we can get on top of it. I mean, they just lead to so much else, don't they, Dave?
Yeah, definitely. Early detection and early education and early treatment is the key. So for anyone that has high blood glucose levels, or like Sue said, high blood pressure, or has a chronic condition, or any kind of family history or something, go and get yourself checked out, because early prevention is the key. If you have the problems, it's not the end of the world. They can be managed, and that's why these services are out there. And like what we said before, there's plenty of other services that we can refer you in. Obviously, we're a diabetes and foot podiatry service, but there's lots of other services that we can refer you in to do with your eyes, to reduce the risk of losing eyesight, or like Pete said, so that your nerves don't get damaged, because they can affect lots of different areas.
And of course, the Mooditj Jenna, people wanting to know a little bit more about how Mooditj Jenna works. Tell me, it is a mobile service. How can they get in contact with you, or do they have to be referred to a doctor, or from any other agency or any health services? Susan.
Yes, sir.
First of all, you've got someone's coming in to speak to you, Susan, and say, look, okay, what do I do? I'm a patient, and who do I speak to, and who do you speak to?
Well, sometimes we ask them, how did you find out about our service?
Yeah.
And they'll usually say from a friend or a family, or the doctor's referred them, or something like that, because we do a lot of promotion in all the medical clinics all over the metro area. So we leave pamphlets and brochures and all sorts of stuff. We do a lot of promotional stuff out there. So, they if they come in, and then And then...
Yeah, for any...
They're provided with the information, and that's part of the education, isn't it?
And they tell us what they want from us, you know, how can we help you?
Yeah.
Do you have diabetes? Do you have foot problems? So, and then we as Aboriginal health professionals, we do an assessment on them with their biometrics and check their, just quickly ask them what's wrong with their feet, and then we'll refer them on to the podiatrist or the dietitian, whoever else they need to see, or onto the life program or living with diabetes, so other services if they need, and we not only deal with those, we deal with other issues like if they need to go to housing or places like that, we, you know, give those numbers for legal numbers or things like wherever that, whatever they
well,
need.
Well, so it's a holistic support.
It's a holistic approach of everything. So if they need to go get help with mental health or financial problems or shoes, we refer them to RK Health where they can, you know, they buy shoes and things for them, special shoes. So
Yeah.
Like you touched on, Jeremy, it's a holistic care approach, and for clients coming into our service as well, if you do get a referral from a doctor, that's fine, but we don't have to have a referral. So like I said before, you can walk in off the street and come and see us. You don't need anything. You come in and say, I want to see the podiatrist, or I want to see the dietitian, or I want to see the health worker.
Yeah.
From
there.
Absolutely. That's fine. We start from the beginning. And then, like Sue said, we can tailor it to whatever you need to be helped with or whatever you want to get from the service.
Yeah. Tony, well, we've touched quite a few topics today, and the time is just moving ahead. And but let's sort of, we can recap on some of these things. Okay, let's go back in the scripts and go back to the beginning. Okay, someone who has diabetes, and we can overemphasize anything on this particular subject. What are some of the things someone who might be listening in did not pick this point up? What should they be looking at? You know, some of those signs and those symptoms. David,
to start off with, Jeremy, if anyone has diabetes out there, come and see us.
Okay.
Even if you don't have any symptoms, come and see us, because it's really good to get involved in a health service, get everything checked out. And like I said to you before, if you have diabetes, you might only need to come and see us once a year to get checked, but you might pick up some other problems that you didn't know you had, and that's what you were talking about. People might have a lack of energy, or they're going to the toilet a lot, or they're thirsty all the time, or they've had a sore on their foot that's taken a really, really long time to heal, and they might just think that that's normal. Some people out there, they might not be feeling that great, and they'll put it down to they think they've got a cold or something like that, and it might not actually be that at all. So it's important for anyone that has any problems with their feet, that has they've noticed that they've lost weight really recently, or they've put on a lot of weight that they're not happy with. Yeah, if they've got pains in their legs, if they can't feel their feet, if they experience some sharp nerve symptoms, pain or numbness or tingling or burning in their feet, it's really important that they come in and see us, because we can provide them the education. Like Sue said, we can provide them the cultural support, and we can provide them referrals into other services if they need that as well.
And Peter? You're a liaison officer, I should say. I was a police liaison officer. you were a medical health liaison officer, and where are you located?
I tried out with the police force. They didn't want me, so...
31 years. I've been locked away for 31 years at that agency.
No, look, as an Aboriginal health liaison officer, we get people in our courses, and there's some Maritja Binge course, which is becoming strong, and all our courses are free. They go for about 6-8 weeks,
and just
2.5-3 hours, whatever hours day.
Yeah.
So any particular day, and we try to get around all over the metro area with that. But it's all pretty much the same. We tell them about lifestyle changes, healthy eating. And especially in our live programs, we go in a bit further about wills and dealing with grief and things like that there as well. But diabetes seems to come up a lot. And the other program we have is the live program, which it's about eating. It's all about eating and looking after yourself and medication and what they do to you and things like that there. Medication is huge. Insulin, a lot of people don't, obviously some people don't have money to get some of the insulin and that. That's why we have Maurice Dillon there to give you the answers. So.
And Susan, Elder of the Year. Amazing, isn't it? I'm just thinking of it's that community contact and within the community it's so important. I'd like to say congratulations again you've got that award, and it is about communication. It's about talking. It's about putting that message across to the Aboriginal community, and it's a very valuable message.
And as an elder, I find it's easier for me to walk up to people and to talk to them about chronic illness or diabetes, because I do a lot of yarning on the streets, which my grandkids get very angry because I talk too long. But working with podiatrists, I tend to look at people's shoes and people if they're limp.
Wow.
So then I'll ask them about their feet and that sort of thing, and especially people, I don't know how, but sometimes I can tell if they've got diabetes. But I do a lot of promotion on the streets. I go to lunch, but I might talk to four or five people while I'm at lunch about our program and what we do.
Yeah, and of course our work is 24/7, isn't it?
That's right.
It doesn't really matter
where
you go. You could be in a group or a crowd. They'll say, "I know Susan, I know Peter." I know David, and that's what it's all about, is that connection to community and country. Time is really moving ahead. We've got about 2 minutes to go. Anything you'd like to stress that we may not have touched on, but I think we've touched on quite a few things.
One thing I'd like to stress is for our Aboriginal people to come and talk to our diabetes educator and our dietitians.
Yep.
Because if you've got heart conditions or kidney conditions, there's certain foods that, okay, you might think it's healthy, but it might be right for their renal problems or their heart problems, so they still need to look at their diet.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll probably just say the same, and participate in the programs we have running, and good way to receive the support and encouragement to deal with it, because we're all in the same boat, and we've got resources out there that we can help. I don't know, Dave, what do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. These guys have touched on, the no shame factor is a huge one, okay? So we've got everyone out there, and it doesn't matter who you are, someone will know someone that has diabetes or has some other medical condition, and it's just important to acknowledge it and come in and talk to these guys and live a healthier life, and get the right resources to do so. Before we finish, Jeremy, I'd like to just say thanks for having us in here today.
That's amazing. Good.
And just a shout out to all our other staff members in the Aboriginal Health Unit, working in East Metropolitan Health and Mooditj Jenner and the other programs. And, most of all to our clients that come and see us on a regular basis. So, stay solid, eh?
And thank you three for coming into the studio. Really enjoyed the program.
Yeah, I enjoyed
Thank
myself.
You.
Thank you very much.
David, Peter and Susan, and this was Health Matters right here on Noongar Radio 100.9 FM Digital.